After a long day of being pulled in every direction, the last thing anyone wants to think about is, what's for dinner? That's where Schwan's can help. With a variety of real food choices, frozen to lock in freshness, from ready-made meals, premium meats and side dishes, to vegetables, ice cream, and more. Schwan's foods go from freezer to table in minutes, not hours, so you can pull off a delicious meal in no time at all. Ordered, delivered, done. That's homemade easy. To help simplify mealtime, visit Schwan's.com.
Want to rise above what holds you back? These are the stories of those fighting that battle. It might also be the story of you. I'm Dan Waldschmidt, author of Edgy Conversations and strategist of billion-dollar companies all over the world. This is Mark Menard, author of The Story of You, the guy who knows a thing or two about never giving up. You're listening to Elevating Beyond. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Elevating Beyond with a two-word mission statement, change lives. And look, I've been doing the past few shows here. We've been diving a lot into a lot of different things about growing out of your comfort zone, elevating beyond in business. And we've been going through a lot of different guests, like hundreds and hundreds of applications that we've continued to get. And we've waited as we continue to get great stories like today's guest that we have today, Will Latif Little. And we're going to be talking about Will's story. Like, you can see Will now. He's spoken on TEDx. He does this like amazing motivational poetry. But before that, he did 10 years in prison. And before he was motivating people and transformed into everything that he's doing now. Also, Will is getting ready to have a show that is going to be featured on either HBO or other documentary. Obviously, I open up on the bio that you did 10 years in jail and in prison, you know, and you mentioned to me before the show that you were actually sentenced for 20. So I purposely didn't share anything with anyone because I just want you to step back and share your story of what happened to get you into prison.
Okay. All right, well, it started off like more so like this. I'm going to try to go briefly through my life. As a young kid living in Philadelphia, PA, I was born in North Carolina. And my mother moved here to Philadelphia with me and my three sisters at the time because her and my father were going through some domestic problems. And for her to escape and get away from that, she moved here to Philadelphia, almost 1,000 miles away from North Carolina, from my father, where I was born at. And I was raised here, in the bricks, instead of living in the sticks. And just being a boy, young guy, growing up with three older sisters, a mother and a grandmother, then soon to have another younger sister, it made me seem like I was the man in the house and I had to protect my mother and sisters, you know? So that journey for me as a young kid, just trying to figure life out on my own and trying to figure out what it's gonna take to be a man, how to get over fear, to even just know the world, you know, just looking in the world and the environment that I lived in, which was very violent, drugs, poor education, people who, you know, were traumatized by different things in their life, experiences, stuff like that. You know, my mom was traumatized in her early ages of life when she lost her mother when them two was in a car accident when she was 11. So she basically raised herself and got married at a young age of 16 years old. Mm. And then had four children. So I was seeing all that within her trouble, her trials and tribulations of trying to struggle and raise five children now that she left fully, that I had a younger sister on her own. And for me, it was like more so like, what is life is all about, you know? Why is this happening? And just trying to figure out, like, where was my dad? Like, where is he? Yeah. Who am I? You know, identity and stuff like that. And the more I grew older, the more I began to think harder, you know, just think about my life and where it's going to be at, and what would happen if I lost my mother, you know, would be in an orphanage, or just a lot of things that a kid, 8, 9 years old, shouldn't be thinking about. Shouldn't be thinking about the school and and, you know, having fun and watching cartoons. But for me, I was an introvert as a kid. I was real quiet, so I always observed and watched and just tried to learn as a kid. I was real curious about different things. And as I grew older, you know, my mother, I seen her struggles and stuff like that. So me being 19 years old, even though I had older siblings, I felt as though I still had to protect the household because, you know, we were robbed one time. And I think we were robbed because, you know, there was no man in the house. You know, so a lot of guys took advantage, you know, tried to take advantage of my household, stuff like that. And when I became 13, you know, my mom still had, like, boyfriends, and she would get into arguments and domestic violence with, domestic disputes with. And one day, particular day, I just got fed up with it, and I jumped into a fight with her and her boyfriend. And this is one of the courses that changed my life. My frame of mind, thinking, because when I jumped in a fight with him, he threw me off his back. He's like, "You think you're a man now? You think you're a man? Come on outside. You think you're a man?" So for me, that was the moment of, all right, I can't be afraid no more, you know. And I was so fed up and frustrated that I couldn't call nobody. I couldn't call my father. I couldn't call my uncles because they were all down south, you know. And there was no one there to protect me or my family. So I really pushed myself to step up, you know what I mean? And I went outside with this guy, knowing that, you know, he carried a gun all the time, knowing he drank real heavy, he was alcoholic, stuff like that, so.
And you were just 13. Is that right? You were just 13?
Yep, 13 at the time. You know, so going through transition, I mean, hormones, stuff like that, you know, got my age of puberty, and now, you know, got hair under my arms and stuff like that, so it's like more so, I really got to try to do something in my life. I mean, with my family, with the streets and how wild it is out in the streets, and protecting them. So when he put the gun in my face, it was more so me not being afraid. I was more angry than anything. You know, I became fearless. You know, so after that, it kind of defined, like, my mentality, you know, like who I am, my perspective on life, and not being afraid of doing anything. You know, so with that kind of mentality mixed with the streets that I lived in and being consumed by that and influenced by it, you know, I fell into drugs and hustling and had a group of friends that we all hung out together and we all had the same dilemmas. You know, our family struggled. We was pointing out the hood, trying to make a life for ourselves and have nice things. And we started to fall into crime. And for us, crime paid. But, you know, time went on, we got into domestic disputes and stuff like that with other groups of guys, and a friend of mine got murdered, got shot 11 times, and I had to deal with that traumatic experience, and never really dealt with that, so I was still walking around with a chip on my shoulder and still kind of angry, and eventually I wound up getting to a shootout with another group of guys, and I killed one of them, and I was sitting in jail. And I was facing the death penalty. A lot of charges. I had like 6 different major charges. Murder, contempt of murder.
Wow.
Aggravated assault, conspiracy, weapons charge. And they was trying to give me a death penalty for my preliminary hearing. But fortunately, some of the charges were dismissed. Like the contempt of murder on the witness, that was dismissed. And the aggravated assault case, I beat that in the trial case. So I was stuck with the homicide. And the judge seemed fit to, you know, not give me a lot of time, but just enough time just for me to get my life together. And that was his words to me. Like, you know, you've never been in trouble before, you've never been locked up before. He said, but I'm going to give you some time, but not a lot of time, just enough time for you to get your life together. You know, and I guess you can see that I wanted to do that. I guess you can see by my testimony. I really wanted, I didn't want that for me. I didn't want to be in jail for the rest of my life, or I didn't want to live that life anymore. You know, so. Well, actually, more than that. I was thinking 25 years.
Wow.
15 to 25 years. But I got 5 years. The judge suspended 5 years on my case, and I wound up doing, like, having 20 years instead of 25.
Did the judge see that as, even though it was homicide, did they see that as though it was different than, because it was like you guys were both were you both fighting with each other, and was there a lot involved, you know, like as a difference as opposed to just breaking into someone's house and killing someone, that would be different than being in like a gang fight or something like that, right?
Yeah, it's different degrees of murder. Of course, some people don't understand the degrees of murder. There's first, second, and third. And mine was a third degree murder because it was a murder out of rage and anger. You know, so it was a lesser degree. So I couldn't get life in prison. But if it's still a third degree, you can get 20 to 40 years. That's the max. You get up to 40 years for a third degree murder. But because he was giving out time like that. He was giving like that much time out to guys with third degree murder. And I was fortunate that he, I guess, seen me as a 19-year-old kid, I mean, who never been in trouble before, but knowing the situation and how Philly is, like that time, that year we had like over 500 and something murders.
Yeah, Philly, they call it the city of brotherly love, man, but Philly can be beautiful and it can be rough. My wife grew up there. I've spent a lot of time. Her nephew had guns put to his head on more than one occasion, and fortunately he kind of got away from it all. But you're in prison now. When did you start feeling, you know, it sounds like the judge from your testimony and stuff could tell that something must have been a little different about you from maybe if some other kid that was just like at this point, like F it all, I'm going to keep doing whatever I want, I don't care what anyone thinks. Like he must have felt like, did you start just like wanting to change as you were in prison, or did it take some time? You know, like, did you get involved in more trouble when you were in prison for a while, or what was that like?
Yeah, I mean, my mentality was still the same as the streets when I got locked up. So I did get to a few fights when I was in jail. I was sent to the home a few times.
Wow.
I almost killed somebody in jail too as well. But it's just more so that You in a maximum security prison, and everybody in that prison are very violent individuals. Most of everyone who had murders or rapes or kidnappings had high bails. It was in a maximum security prison, so the prison was really, really open, wide open. Like the inmates really controlled the prison. The guards didn't control the prison, but the inmates really controlled the prison. So if somebody wanted to get you'll be got, basically. And it's just a rough situation. The beings, especially as a 19-year-old, some guys got raped, and some kids got raped. I mean, you know, so it was really, really violent. And people got murdered. I mean, like 7 people got murdered when I stayed in that county prison. This ain't the state prison, it's the county prison. Like 7 people got murdered in there during my stay. And it was just that violent. You know, it was like the streets, but it was even more condensed because everybody was in one spot.
Yeah.
So you can imagine how crazy.
Yeah, it's like the streets, but it's like taking that, the people that have, the population of everyone from the streets that, like you said, putting them all together. So a lot of anger and some people in there that are just like, you know, past the point of even wanting to change, I'm sure, too.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the guys who had life, a person already in there waiting for another trial. Go to court for another homicide. You know, so people that gave up on life and didn't care about their life either, you know, so there would be arguments over phone calls or arguments over basketball games, fights and riots. You know, we had riots back and forth. Every month we can have a riot, I mean, over anything, you know, with the guards and the news. So it was really a rough time, I mean, for me to make that transition from the streets to prison and adapt to that, you know. But like I said, my mentality was the street. Even though I wasn't a real violent person, I was a real quiet person, you know. And I didn't allow no one to disrespect me in no kind of way. If you want some problems out of me, then all you had to do was disrespect me. You have a problem. You know, so I ain't bothered nobody. It's the same way I was on the street. I was always polite. I was always nice. It's just that if you violate me, then you'll see the other side of me. So, and then for me, when it changed, it's more so when my son was born, nine months later, when I was in prison. Because my girlfriend was pregnant, like, about a week or two before I got locked up.
Wow.
And when he was born, it was more so for me to say to myself that I don't care about myself. At least I have to care about my son and give him something that I didn't have, which was a father with guidance and direction, you know, that would be there. You know, so it set me on another journey to actually learn how to be a man. Because no one taught me how to be a man. No one taught me how to deal with problems or deal with issues. So everything I dealt with on my own. I never go back to my mom and ask her questions. I couldn't talk to my older sisters because I didn't think none of them could relate to a man's problem.
Yeah.
You know, so most of the time I was faced to deal with problems on my own, you know, and I'm an optimistic person, you know, so I always thought optimistically, and when the time came, I said, I'm gonna challenge myself to learn what it is to be a man, and I know it's nothing that I did before. You know, I already knew that part. I already had that start. I knew things I did before was childish and emotional, so I had to reinvent myself. And the only way I was going to do that, even at that time, before I even knew about emotional intelligence, I had a level of emotional intelligence at the age of 20, I mean 21 years old, because I started thinking about self-reflecting and self-educating, you know, because I dropped out of school at 10th grade. So I knew the key to my success would be education and knowledge, and especially knowledge about self. I mean, so
you started reading? Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't start reading. I mean, people always ask what kind of books that I read and helped me transform my life. I didn't read no books. You know, I looked at life. You know, and I analyzed life and stuff. I analyzed my own life, my experiences, experience of my mother, other people around me, you know, TV shows, movies, you know, a lot of things that had meaning to it. And my perception was all about what good I can get out of this. You know, what's going to benefit me in life? Even if it's a movie, I can watch and get something out of it that'll benefit me in life. You know, so I really can refer to the book that really changed my life. It was more so me just being aware and paying attention. I mean, and learning what through experience. Because ultimately, the best teacher is your experience, you know? And when I started doing self-reflection, you know, I don't know what told me to start doing that, what made me start doing that, but I really think it was mainly divine intervention and purpose, you know? And me being on this path that I'm on today was always purposeful to go through the things that I went through in order to make the person I am today, you know? And surprisingly, I was able to reflect and look on some things that happened to me in my life, you know, and forgive individuals who hurt me or hurt my family, you know, to come to that closure. And then also understand the people that I hurt and my experiences and my moments of anger or misunderstanding, and come to forgiveness terms of myself, forgiving myself for doing that, you know, to come to a closure. And then now self-development, now working on myself, where my areas of weakness are. Education. I needed to increase my addiction. I needed to be more sociable because I wasn't a communicator. You know, understand how to talk and communicate with people, understand what problems are. And I knew if I was going to change for the better, one time I got out of jail, I knew I had to do it inside that kind of environment. It was real hostile, it was real violent. Because the thing I was addicted to was violence. I was addicted to that. So if you were in trouble, then you just going to get it out of me. But the thing was, I was also intelligent. I was also smart. And I knew I had to use the resources that I was born with, so my creativity, my level of thinking, me even slowing down the world that I live in, to really control it and let it move to my pace instead of me moving to the pace of the world like I was in the streets, hustling and doing this and doing that, just going to and fro. You know, so I wasn't really using my intelligence. And I knew that the best gift that I had or the best weapon that I can use was my brain. You know, so I really got into wanting to expand my brain and really learn a whole lot and just live up to my fullest potential, you know, and find my purpose. So that's the mission I started on when I was 20 years old.
Wow. Listen, everyone, we stopped it there because this interview, like, is so powerful of Willie's story, behind the story. And this is a perfect spot to stop, where this is going to be a two-part episode. So get ready, as part two is going to be airing over the next couple of days as Willie goes into the whole next level of his story of how he got through prison, how he continued to battle and change his mindset. Like, what he did is phenomenal. I don't even want to give any more away. I mean, he talks about in the future one what happened after he got out of prison as a murderer. Did he connect with that family who he murdered, their son and brother? Or did he not? Did he go back to his old ways? Did he rekindle his relationship with his son? That was his why. You're going to see, obviously, how he started to overcome all these amazing things and what led to him being a TEDx speaker and having a featured film documentary coming up on HBO, as well as being a multiple author. All the links will be here in this episode for our man Willie Little, who shared this powerful, powerful, powerful show today. So thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And get ready, as the new episode's going to be dropping very, very soon. Willie's story shows you that you can go through so much adversity. Your circumstances do not ever dictate your destiny. Even if you've done wrong, even if you've been thrown into the worst of the worst, you can always find a way out. You need to connect and tap into a why, and that's what he did. He started doing it his way when he connected with his son, and then he started learning the way that he learns to elevate himself. So I'm challenging you, everyone listening right now. This story is powerful. Share this episode, share it with everyone. This story needs to be heard. It blew my mind. And I'm excited for you to hear the next segment of this, because it was going to be too much in one. I had to give us all a break to breathe. This is powerful stuff. So never settle, never give up, and keep elevating beyond.
Banana Republic Factory with 60% off the entire store. Our biggest sale of the year. Plus, take an extra 50% off clearance. Stock up on dresses, shirts, and shorts under $15. Find your nearest store or shop online only at Banana Republic Factory.
At Farmers Insurance, we have concrete evidence that parking under an industrial cement mixer, that's just asking for trouble. Seen it, covered it. Click for more.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, Exchanges, and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.